This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Join us, 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Mickey, and Bonnie.
And some people may be a little surprised by the sort of more religious conversations I've been having lately, and especially on Wednesday nights, but that's not really new, right? Like, I first started doing radio, as it were, because I was on a show called The Call to Freedom, which, for those who don't know, there's this thing in Islam called The Call to Prayer. I'm not a Muslim, but that was where the show got its title from.
Oh, I never thought of that.
That was why it was called The Call to Freedom. And it was created by two Muslims. I think Davi Barker and Will Coley were the two creators. There was another one who may or may not have been founded the show. I don't remember the specifics. But anyway, it was founded by Muslims. It ended up getting an evangelical Christian alongside the Muslim. And then they brought on me, the atheist / Satanist, however you wish to characterize me. To me, the terms are interchangeable for reasons that I've certainly elaborated on the air at some point. And that was sort of what we did. There was a lot of religious talk to the show. I mean, especially once it became daily, it was hard, but I did get on, like, philosophers and religious historians and stuff like that to come on the show and talk to us about things, and it was tremendously exciting. It was a lot of fun. It's always a subject that's fascinated me a lot. Okay. Obviously, I was, born into a Christian family. I was raised being a Christian, and eventually I fell away from that, and then I got saved again, and I fell away from it again, and I think I may have gotten saved again. I don't remember.
What age did you get saved again?
Again?
I don't know.
The first
Either
again.
Either time, yeah, first again.
I don't remember the first again, right? But I remember the second one, because I went to a See You at the Pole rally, and for those who don't know, this is something they do in the South.
Yeah. Almost. Do you know what that is, Nikki?
It sounds like it involves strippers.
It does sound like
that. That would be better, but it does not. It's a sermon. It's a church sermon at a football field, basically. Right?
I didn't think it was at a football field, at least for my school.
That's what this was.
It was always the flagpole. That's why it's called See You at the Pole.
And what is it?
It's
FCA, right? I think it's Future Christians of America, or maybe I'm mixing up FFA, but whatever. There's an actual Christian group in schools.
There is.
Called, like, FCA, I think.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
That's what it is. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's why it would be on a football field.
We don't do that up here.
Okay, well, I know, right.
That's why it would be on a football field. I was right about that acronym.
This was a major CU at the Pole rally involving many, many different schools and counties and stuff. So it was at a football field. We were in the stadiums, and I don't know, man. You know, I felt Jesus that day, so I stood up, and I went and got saved and a lot of stuff. It was really, I drank the Kool-Aid, man. I went home that night, and I threw away all of my Metallica cassettes and stuff.
Really?
And, yeah. Because this stuff's going to send me to hell, right? And I thought it was. And
I mean,
I did a similar thing in high school. I didn't like go home and throw anything away, but I went to my friend's church on a Wednesday just because it was like something to do to hang out with my friend. Mm-hmm. And like, I already felt like I was like saved, but the teacher was like, "Have you been doing this or this? Have you had these thoughts? Maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart." So I did it then.
Sounds
and
dirty.
That's what Aria said when I talked about this before. But yeah. I didn't have any like crazy spiritual. Some people do that, and then they have like a crazy spiritual experience that literally happens to them. You know, they perceive it, or they start speaking another language or something. Didn't happen to me.
I think I was in the 7th or 8th grade then. I was still in junior high, however old I was then. You know, that persisted for a while. I don't know exactly how long, no more than like 6 to 9 months, though, before I was like, okay, look, this Tim McGraw crap is not working for me. And the reason I say this Tim McGraw crap was because I just thrown away all of my Metallica cassettes, all of my Marilyn Manson cassettes. This was the era of cassettes, by the way. I didn't have any CDs at this time. I don't think I even had a CD player. I just had cassette tapes, and I needed something to listen to, right? Everyone needs something to listen to except that weird one person out there on planet Earth who doesn't like music.
Right, Chris Weed.
Yeah.
He doesn't like music. I was surprised he likes movies, but he doesn't like music.
Who doesn't? What kind of a person does? Anyway. So my grandmother suggested, you know, well, listen to, you don't have to listen to that devil nonsense, right?
Listen to country
music. Yeah, listen to country. So I was like, all right, well, Tim McGraw seems like tolerable, right? And I mean, musically, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard, but I couldn't do that long. Like, you can't skateboard, because I love skateboarding, and I was a skateboarder. You can't skateboard and play street hockey to Tim McGraw.
No.
It just doesn't work.
I don't even really exactly know what Tim McGraw sings, but I hate, like, all country music that's not Carrie Underwood, Casey Musgraves.
Dolly Parton? What about Dolly Parton?
I like some Dolly Parton. I listened to her Christmas music this Christmas.
I honestly love country music.
Well, I have more of a respect for it now than I did when I was...
You need a balance, right? Yeah. It's like, I'm not gonna... I listen to, like, rock and roll and metal more than anything, you know what I mean? So it's like, I can't just listen to country music all the time.
Right, like, I can't just listen to pop music all the time even, so, like,
today
I was listening to, like, Paul McCartney and the Wings, which is, like, out of my normal range, but it's still really nice.
So that was around the 7th or 8th grade, and that was when I got saved the second time, but... You know, I ended up falling into paganism and Wicca and Satanism and all these other sorts. You know, just rebellious teenager looking for answers, because I was convinced at this point that there was a God, and Christianity was just leading me astray from the actual God that existed. And, you know, I still argue that that's probably what Christianity does, but I went along that character arc, well, not a character arc, that familiar arc where a person, you know, they become an... They sort of add all religions together into this one sort of super religion kind of thing. And someone even said to me at the time, aha, yeah, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're on the road to atheism. And I was like, no, I'm not. You don't know what you're talking about. And 2 years later, I was like, holy crap, I'm an atheist. That dude was right. And I started watching a lot of atheist shows on YouTube and a lot of atheist YouTube channels, or a lot of YouTube channels by atheists. One of my favorites, this psychologist called Theremin Trees, makes fantastic videos. And they just explore the ideas of religion and Christianity and some of the things it's done. This atheism on YouTube, it used to be sort of a thing, right? There was this thing between atheists and Christians arguing back and forth in videos, and it was great, and it was a wonderful time to be alive, and I hate that I didn't have the capabilities to take part in it, but like back in Thunderfoot and the Nonbeliever and the Armored Christian, I think, Bonnie, you had mentioned him.
The Armored Skeptic.
Well, there's also the Armored Christian.
There's also the Armored Christian, but I like the Armored Skeptic.
Yeah.
And he makes, like, conspiracy videos now. I think he, like, threatened to quit because he was depressed, and then he came back, but... His old stuff is still up, so if you are deciding to not be a Christian and want to go look at something, go to Armored Skeptic's old videos. He also convinced me to stop being a flat earther, so.
Phil Helene's is probably my favorite because the production value and his incredibly soothing voice and the way he puts things, just fantastic stuff. So if you get bored, check out the video, Science Saved My Soul by Phil Helene's. It lasts like 8 or 9 minutes long, and it's some of the best 8 or 9 minutes that you can spend. So anyway, that was this whole thing that happened there, and there was a show called The Atheist Experience that I liked watching clips of. I never watched the whole show, but I would watch the callers call in and try to convince these people that there is a God, and it was very entertaining. And
sounds like this show.
Well, sort of. It was focused exclusively on that subject, though, and it was very entertaining and very inspiring, and it was a subject that interested me a whole lot. And so, of course, I absorbed all of those arguments, and I went through that phase that every atheist goes through where, you know, I have seen the light. You know, I've seen that the shadows on the cave are just shadows on the cave, and there's this whole world out there that all people have to do is turn their heads and look at. They don't have to watch the shadow. They can live in the real world, like Plato's allegory, the cave. Every atheist goes through that experience where they feel like they have to save other people from Christianity, and eventually that went away. Thank God.
Yeah, because that's kind of what the Christians are doing, and it's just a really cringy mentality.
It is cringy.
Let people believe in whatever they believe in. It really doesn't matter.
But every, almost every Christian to atheist that I've ever met, that I've ever heard of, they go through that awkward, disgusting phase. I certainly did.
But it's the same thing with Christian. You know, when people are saved and they're true believers, then they kind of go through that. Where it's like, no, if you just knew what I knew, I feel like a lot. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, vegans and the people, you know, the reverse of that. You know, so it's like anyone.
I feel that way right now.
Yeah, so it's like anyone who has this strong belief system or something that's new. Like, because it does kind of feel like that when you get this new information. It's like, I wish I had known this all along, or I wish I had understood this all. Like, if only other people just knew, they would feel the same way I do, but they don't. Because everyone's different. And then I think once it kind of settles down, people start to realize that, like, well, no, clearly not everybody. You know, I told them the information and they don't feel the same way. So.
Thank you, Nikki. I feel a lot better about my cringy atheist past because of that. That was genuinely helpful. I never thought about it in those terms. I was super cringy, right?
I mean, that's how I was when I was, like, in middle school. I was a hardcore vegan. I would, like, you know, plaster my high school with, like, pictures of animals being skinned alive and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, Lord, you did that?
Yeah, I would post videos on Facebook, like slaughterhouse videos. I was very hardcore into shaming people for eating meat, shaming people for using any sort of animal products. I was into this for, like, maybe, like, 6 or 7 years.
Have you seen...
very hardcore.
And I realize this is... Yeah. Have you seen the film Earthlings?
Yeah.
Okay. That was
I watched all the documentaries and I was a hardcore believer and I just couldn't.
That one hit me hard, man.
I couldn't fathom that, you know, I would tell people this information because I was trying to save everyone. I was trying to save the animals. I thought I was righteous. I thought, you know.
Well, you were. I would still argue that vegans are the only ones who have the moral high ground in the world. I'm not a vegan.
But the thing is, there's so much more of a bigger picture to diet and to everything, lifestyle, everything. Yeah. That I wasn't understanding when I was 14 years old, you know what I mean?
That's fair. Then
when I started learning more about health, when I started learning more about the soy industry and processed foods and the effect it had on my body and on the environment and on animals and on, you know, humanity.
Yeah, I know, like...
You know, there's a bigger picture that I wasn't understanding.
A lot of people don't realize that, like, the more we have a vegetable and fruit and soy... and rice industry, the bigger those things get, and they kill animals. It kills animals and displaces them from their environments.
I mean, you could say that GMOs are worse for animals than actual slaughterhouses. I mean, it's hard to fathom that, but
once
you open your mind to it, it's kind of...
I mean, there's still a lot more humane ways people could be eating meat than, like, Tyson chicken. Like, I won't touch that stuff. That's scary. Like, I even think about the spiritual implications. Like, I don't want to eat the carcass of an animal that lived that life.
That's most factory farms.
Right.
I recently watched a video of one of these humane slaughterhouses, right? This vegan or animal rights activist has snuck into one of these places claiming to be a worker or something. They installed 3 cameras. Now, it uses suffocation to kill pigs. And...
Doesn't sound better.
It was portrayed as a humane way. You know, the pigs just suffocate and they die.
Doesn't it with the CO2?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard this.
And the video, do not watch it. The video is available online. This person snuck a video camera in and they recorded it. It's got audio, just warning you, it's got audio of pigs screaming in agony as they suffocate.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely horrific. And that's the humane way of killing them.
And it's not true. You know, I've been to local farms, and that's what even when I was a vegan, because I realized very quickly after sharing all these videos and telling people the truth that people are still going to eat meat. They're still, you know, people are not going to change that part of the diet. It just wasn't, you know, I told hundreds of people this information, and very few people converted to veganism. So I realized very quickly. So even as a vegan, I always was an advocate of hunting and local, like, supporting local farms. Because clearly people want to eat, you know.
There's the whole kosher halal thing. Halal is the Muslim version of kosher, basically. And they're like, well, the whole point of killing animals is supposed to be humane, right? But, like, no.
It's not.
I watched Will Coley slit a goat's throat, and I can tell you there was nothing humane about it.
No.
It wasn't torturous. But it wasn't humane. That wasn't a nice, happy way to die.
No, and I've seen, like, the mass production factory farm version of kosher.
Oh, good Lord, I can only imagine.
It's so much worse. Like, just do it the normal way. Just shoot them in the head. I don't get
why. That's what I wish people would do.
It's just normal. That's the normal way to do it. And I can't even describe on the radio what I saw in this kosher beef facility or whatever, but it was...
Or decapitate them.
Yeah, that's
such an instance.
Yeah. You know, like, that's humane if you're going to kill someone.
What is the problem with the, like, electrocution rods? I've only ever seen forks over knives, and I don't think they got into that, but
that kills them.
Oh, I thought that's what it's for. Or at least stuns them to where they're passed out, then they can be killed whatever way without experiencing it.
Electrocuting people to death, that was something that, like... America used to do that. Was the death penalty,
the
right?
Chair,
and it was tremendously traumatic.
Yeah.
And some people lived through these experiences, obviously, because it was a slow, torturous. It's torturing someone with electricity until they die.
But with these things, it's like they're going through a line, and it's literally like zap, zap, zap. It's not like the chair, how it takes 30 seconds or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I feel like most Americans out there would be willing to pay an extra 10% or an extra 15% to just give the pig some sort of drugs that
wouldn't
put them to sleep.
No, they wouldn't. They really wouldn't.
I have to think better of people. If they saw that video, I think they would. If they saw that video and was like, okay, look, if I can just pay 10% more for this pig, for these pigs to be put to sleep.
It's because of the humans thinking that they're better than everything else thing we were talking about earlier. People are just like, it's just a pig. Like, my parents and people like that will just literally say that, like, yeah, but, like, that's, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just a pig. It's not a human.
It's not even just that, though, because I've done so much of this work where I've, you know, tried to show people whatever. People are so good at just ignoring it. They're so good. They're like, I've seen this thing, and they will black it out of their memory.
How do they do that?
I know a lot of people. I was even asked by my own sister, because we're having a pig roast at our wedding. I obviously don't eat meat, but I understand, you know, my partner does, and there's going to be meat served at my wedding. That's just, you know, whatever. And my own sister was like, I can't believe you're going to have a pig roast. Like, and I'm like, well, there's going to be meat there. She couldn't, like, the pig roast and actually seeing the full body pig, to her that was tremendously different than just serving regular meat. She eats meat. She's not a vegetarian. But just the fact that it had a head and legs and that you could see it.
Okay.
To her, that was so different. And to me, I know the truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, meat is meat. I know that this was an animal once. It doesn't matter what it looks like to me. It doesn't matter if it's processed or if it's cut up. That is still an animal. So either way, there's going to be meat at my wedding. I would rather that pig roast come from I know the farmers. It is Bardo Farms,
awesome.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
so
they
it's
take
like
good
know
care of their
where,
pigs. They're free-range
exactly.
pigs.
Exactly. Like, I know where
better.
This pig is coming from.
Like,
yeah,
it didn't live a horrible life
it.
Or eat crappy
and
food.
And I'm supporting
or,
my community.
See, I wasn't convinced that that was true.
I always heard that.
But then I went to Local Burger, which they don't always... I mean, they source their meat from local farms, certainly, but not local in the way that Bardo Farms is local, right? And I just one day I was like, I'm going to get the grass-fed beef. And I did. And holy crap, just the difference between the grain-fed beef and the actual grass-fed beef.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I will take grass-fed any day of the week.
Well, you have to think about it. Cows are supposed to eat grass, you know what I mean?
Not like, soy.
They're not supposed to eat soy and corn and grain. It's so bad for them. So imagine, you know, as you are what you eat, right? Your cells are constantly regenerating from the energy that is being fueled into the body. So I can just imagine what that does. And even think about people. I mean, when people that eat high carb diet versus people who eat high oil diet, the way they carry their fat is completely different. You know, so we can even see how different diets in humans affect the body differently. And the same thing is true for animals.
Earthlings was one of the films that really got me. I'd watched Food Incorporated before, but that's more about how just the evil corporations. I mean, they're obviously evil, but Earthlings, man.
Mm-hmm.
That one, if I had not been in Mississippi, look, if you live in Mississippi, there's no possibility of becoming a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vegetarianism around you. There are no restaurants that cater to you. There's no stores that cater to you.
You can just smell barbecue while you're driving around.
Yeah. You're eating salads every meal, and that's pretty much it if you want to be even a vegetarian in Mississippi. So it was not a realistic possibility, but like that. When I die and I face whatever creator of the universe, I like the idea that the animals of Earth will be the ones who judge our souls, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't learn anything by how someone treats their equals or their superiors. But if you want to learn something about someone, you want to learn what their heart really is, judge how they treat things that are inferior to them and people who are inferior to them.
That's a great point.
That's how you learn. And so the closest we have to that on Earth are the animals. So let's get all of the animals out there, all of the spiders, all of the birds. And, you know, in my crazy little fevered imagining of this, the spiders have the wisdom to understand that they weren't killed for malicious reasons or evil reasons. They were killed because they were killed.
Because they were creepy.
Right. So that was just a part of life for them. They didn't kill the fly to be malicious. They killed the fly to eat. And we killed the spider to safeguard our baby or our animals or whatever. So in my little world where the animals are judging us, they have the wisdom to separate necessary slaughter. But anyway, let the animals judge us and say that this person was good or this person was bad.
How can I would send all male people to hell?
No, he wouldn't.
I thought you said coconut was gay.
Oh, no, I meant mail, like, mail delivery people.
Oh, I was like...
He's gay. He loves men.
He's very confused.
Okay, yeah, that makes a bit more sense. Well, even Azria, you know, Azria is a super friendly dog. She loves everyone, but there's something about the male person.
Why is it? It's so weird.
I don't know. Because they come every day?
Yeah, because they invade their house.
Yeah, and then, so what it is they bark... And then after they bark, you know, obviously, you know, the UPS man comes, delivers the package, and then leaves. So they think their barking actually did something. They don't realize that the person just left because they were going to leave either way. They're like, oh, look, I did it. I barked and he left.
That's a good point because he also barks like crazy when like Matt is on our front porch.
Yeah.
But if Matt comes in, he's like, oh, it's Matt. He doesn't hate Matt. But when he seriously, I'm not joking, like it doesn't matter if we're down the street and the male person that comes to our house is walking down the street far away from our house, he's inconsolable. Like he won't shut up and he's so mean. I don't know why I went into this.
I do kind of trust the judgment of dogs, though. I remember, speaking of Azria, at Porkfest last year, I think, you know, whatever, I was petting her, and she was kind of guarding the Free Talk Live campsite area.
In as much as a golden retriever guards anything, right?
No, but I brought someone up, and she growled at them.
Did
and
she?
And then instantly after that, I was like, I don't like this person anymore.
Yeah, it's obvious when Coconut doesn't like people, and he's never liked someone that I thought was, or disliked somebody that ended up being a good person.
Dogs are interesting like that. Azria's thing is that she hates being leashed up, and she wants to be able to go play with people, and when she's leashed up, she can't, and she thinks that barking will get their attention. She legit doesn't understand that scares people. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. Is faith fading?
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Tyre Nichols laid to rest this afternoon in Memphis. The 29-year-old died of injuries sustained following a traffic stop in which he was beaten by police officers. The Reverend Al Sharpton eulogized Nichols and said he can't believe this happened in Memphis.
Five black men in the city that Dr. King lost his life. Not far away from that balcony, you beat a brother to death.
Nicholas beaten to death at the hands of five Memphis police officers. Vice President Kamala Harris called for Congress to act. The power reportedly back on at Los Angeles International Airport. The L.A. Department of Water and Power says it is getting electricity back to LAX. Airport officials had to halt many flights when the lights went out this afternoon. Interest rates going up again. The Federal Reserve raising the rates by a quarter percentage point. In an effort to get inflation under control, the central bank has been raising rates over the last year. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Talk Live, and you can join us 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. And the number 603-283-6160 with you tonight. It's Aria, Bonnie, and Nikki. And coming up, I have got to talk about the book Nevada at some point because I did recently read it. I didn't know what to expect going into it. I knew it was about a trans character and a potentially trans dude.
I'm just glad you say Nevada, because I hate people that say Nevada.
Fine, okay, I guess I'll just leave.
I'm just kidding, but I don't like that. I don't know why. It doesn't matter if it's correct or not, like, I just don't like Nevada.
It's like caramel, caramel.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know, well, sort of, except the people in Nevada say Nevada.
Just that, don't care about
that's
them.
That's what I'm made sure of.
It's their state, so they're the ones who get to say how it's pronounced. That's just the way I view it, right? So if they say it's Nevada, I'm like, all right, it's
I
Nevada.
I say Massachusetts.
Moss?
Yeah, I say Massachusetts.
Do you?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, well, you can't.
You can't.
I still slip a lot.
You can't do that.
I still slip a lot. We'll say Nevada here and there on accident, but when, you know, I try to always say Nevada.
It literally has nothing to do with just the fact that I grew up saying Nevada, and like my parents said Nevada, and when I heard Nevada, I was like, that's wrong, and that's it.
Okay. Well, maybe they were from Nevada. I mean, you mentioned they were, I mean, you're from Utah and all of that, so that's right around.
No, we didn't live in Utah until I was like 17, only because of the military.
But it's like Arkansas, right? No one.
No one says Arkansas.
Right, exactly. No one would call it Arkansas because they know it's Arkansas. But I mean, it's spelled like Arkansas, yeah.
But
right?
But people who don't know do say Arkansas or Illinois.
Yes, also true. go to the phones before we get into all of that. Anyway, I want to talk about the book because it's got no plot at all. And it managed to be exhilarating and entertaining. It kept my interest all the way through. There were periods where I was excited about the possibility of reading. And I don't have a whole lot of time to just sit around reading, but I made time, and I'm glad I did. I want to talk about that because I suggest just about everyone out there reading, but a lot of people won't get it. But before we get into that, let's go to the phones. We have Joe on the line from Maryland. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, Aria. Hi, Nikki. Hi, Bonnie. How's everybody doing?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. I know you don't live in it and stuff like that, but
I didn't catch that.
I pray for you every day, Aria.
I didn't catch what the first thing you said was.
Oh, I know you don't believe in it, but I do pray every day for you. And everybody in Free Coast Live. I pray that you
thank see you.
What you are looking for, and I pray for the protection of everyone else.
I appreciate that, Joe. And I don't. A long time ago, you know, little angsty, cringy atheist me would have been like, "You're wasting your breath," or whatever. But you know, I don't necessarily think that's true. Now, there's a greater than zero chance that these positive thoughts that you're putting out there into the universe are going to manifest.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? That's why I love that my grandma and mom pray for, like, me and Ian. I think it's nice. It's human.
Yeah, I absolutely believe in the power of prayer.
So I don't think it's a waste of breath or anything like that. I don't believe that there is a being out there who can be persuaded by the prayers of others, but just the concept of prayer as a whole is just sending love out into the universe. You're sending love out there for people you care about. You know, you pray for your family, your friends, or whatever, because you love them and you care about them. When you pray, all you're asking is for good things to happen to them. It's just sharing love out into the universe, and that's a beautiful. It doesn't even matter to me. Maybe prayer does nothing. Maybe these thoughts never materialize into anything. So someone's putting love out into the universe, and to me, that's a positive thing.
And how many times have you, like, thought of someone you hadn't talked to in a while, and then they, like, text you, like, I was thinking of you? That's literally happened to me millions of times.
Yeah, also, like I told you before, I did see I had a vision where the universe was created when I was at an Indian reservation, the Red Road Gathering.
Oh, that's right.
In South Dakota.
Yeah.
So, I really believe. You know, like I said, I'm Catholic, ex-altar boy, and I had the religion beaten in me by the nuns, but, hey, what can I say? All I can say is God bless all. Okay, take it easy, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. And, you know, God bless you as well, or whatever the atheist equivalent of that would be.
Satan?
Well, that would be the Satanist equivalent, but you know, Satan bless you. So
that might
I try not to say that to Christians, right?
Yeah,
and he
they
specifically
the
said
way.
That he was a Christian. I think he would know that I didn't mean it in that sense, but that's going to happen when my chosen deity is the enemy of their chosen deity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The disconnect is that the devil or Satan is the bad guy. He's the evil. He's the evil one. He's the devil to Christians, but to Satanists he isn't.
Yeah, it's a perception thing,
right?
Yeah.
But so I tend not to say. I try not to wear my religion obviously out there anyway. Like obviously, people who look at me and they know anything about me, they know I'm a Satanist. I've got all of the pentagrams and all of that stuff and the sigil of Lucifer on a ring that I wear and similar crap to that. But I don't go around saying Hail Satan or the equivalent of, you know, Hail Mary or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I try to be more subtle than that.
I was joking.
Right. But anyway, I do thank you for the positive thoughts, even if they don't result in anything. There's no harm, certainly,
yeah,
in putting
like,
love out there.
There is praying for people, I think, is a positive thing. I used to work at this restaurant. It was a Thai restaurant, and there was three of us that worked there. We were all, you know, women with colored hair and visible tattoos and piercings.
Sure.
And we would get a lot of people that would come in, and they would leave, like, the little pamphlets, like the Bible the study right. groups and stuff like that. And up here, I mean, that might be common where you guys are from, but
it's
that,
super common where I'm
that
from.
That doesn't happen up here a lot. I've only had it happen to me at that restaurant, and I think it's because we were all heavily tattooed women. But we would get people, like this one girl that I worked with, this girl from her high school came in and was like, can I pray on you? And meanwhile, we're having our lunch break. Like, we're not even on the clock. We're just enjoying a meal. And she comes over, and it's, like, awkward. It's like, you don't say no to that, I guess. So she just put her hands on her and was praying on her. But it made my coworker extremely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, she does not believe in God. It was just made her very uncomfortable. And it might have been a nice thing, but it seemed like, you need saving. You look right. like you're a non-believer, or I know you don't believe, and I want to say, it can seem very preachy, and it...
Like, I know your life is going bad because you have tattoos.
Yes, like, it can come off the wrong way. So I think there are positive ways to pray for people, and I don't think it's something that you need consent to do, as long as it's with good, positive intention. That's just my belief. Other people might disagree. But I think there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it.
You know the phenomenon where if someone holds out something and starts talking to you, then like handing it to you, almost everyone will just automatically grab it.
Yeah.
The only truly awkward time I was ever accosted by a religious person was when I was at a Walmart with my sister. She was picking up some medication or something. And I was just standing there with her waiting. And this older gentleman comes up to me and he has me a card. And I just instinctively take it. And he starts talking about trying to get me to come to his church. I was like, no, thank you. I don't believe in that. And I didn't want the card at that point. I was like, this is useless to me. This is just garbage. I'm going to have to go away later. He flat refused
to take it back.
And he, like, dude, why did you even come up to me? I'm just standing here in a pair of kickwear with a Marilyn Manson shirt on. I don't need saving. I've realized that in your weird little world I do, but that was an unpleasant experience.
Mm-hmm.
I did end up ultimately going to a church, but it was my grandmother's church, and they had a prayer board where you take a post-it note and you write down something that you want people to pray over, right? And then you put it on the post-it note, on the board, and at the end of each sermon, they go by it, and every person takes one post-it note home. And then they pray about that all week long or whatever. I don't know if it works or not. However, I decided to take a blank one home. So I took this blank post-it note home, and I stuck it on my mirror so that I would see it every day to remind myself that if I wanted something, if I wanted something to manifest, then it was my responsibility not to pray for it, but to go out there and make it happen.
Yeah.
And that was a reminder of that. And to me, that is probably a more effective way of dealing with these sort of things. Like, instead of praying for a new job, like maybe a lot of people wrote out there, I want a new job, right? So they've got these people out there.
Yeah, go apply. And I think, like, to me, a lot of what, like, prayer and manifestation is just mindset. So not just asking God for things, but really, like, just keeping your mindset. Like, if you want to attract abundance, like, you have to be in a mindset for abundance. Yes. You can't be like, oh, I got all these bills, I'm broke, I have no money. You have to think abundantly, but with that, you also have to make the actual steps to get a new job or to make money or, you know, whatever comes with abundance.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones if I can find the cursor. We have Chuck on the line from Washington. Chuck. Not church. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to say I'd like to take a minute to say a prayer for David Olson from New Mexico.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He called you Chuckles, the clown from Washington. David has this... David
all right, I'm a funny person, but whatever.
He gets into arguments with so many callers, and I have no idea... David has issues, man. If I've learned anything,
he's got more issues than Time Magazine.
Man, he does. David, if you're listening, go ahead and call. Give us a call. Let us hash this out, because I prefer Chuck's calls over David's. Like, for a long time,
he's
I wouldn't even answer David's
right
call.
Now.
I'm sorry?
He's milking cows right now, and I tried to tell him, dude, I only got male cows.
Oh, my God.
So what's on your mind tonight, Chuck?
So the whole idea of buying fire insurance, and I'm sorry, colleagues there, the young lady that was coerced into buying fire insurance because she was trying to escape hell,
You're using fire insurance as the analogy, or as an analogy for Christianity, and this idea that in order to save oneself from hell or to get insurance against going to hell, one believes in Jesus. Okay. I thought you meant someone was actually like buying fire insurance.
That's what I was like, yeah.
So I had
to. You actually did. When you did that, in a spiritual sense, I mean, I know there's a difference between religion and spirituality, and we can.
Ian has me convinced that there isn't, that that's a misnomer. And I had never really thought about it, Ian.
Ian, yeah, Ian did that to me too.
And, you know, I'd always operated in the same sort of idea that spirituality and religion were different things, that you could be spiritual without being religious, and
I believe they're different things.
I don't have Ian's capability to argue with it because I'm a convert to that idea myself, but I no longer think they're different.
Well, I argued with him.
I'm sorry. The difference between religion and spirituality is the religion is the show and the theater that we provide for others to acknowledge that we have that capability to fall in line with some kind of belief system, whether that be a mock vampire execution every Sunday at a Catholic church when you're taking in communion, or drinking the venom from a snake, whatever you want to do. But then you've got the spiritual angle where that's a personal thing that every person has to go through themselves. And it's an inner thing. And to be quite honest with you, I choose not to choose to take part in religion, so I take part in spirituality. But I have to intake what the whole religious realm kind of provides me for food right now. And quite frankly, when you guys talk about all this kind of stuff, the Bible and stuff like that, it really, it's fun. It's fun to really consider about that, because really we all are looking for fire insurance, and we're looking for ultimately what happens at the end of our lives. And are we going to find peace? Or torment, and that's the real worry, I think, that we have to acknowledge in all this discussion, right? I mean,
it shouldn't be, right? Because, I mean, the fact that there even is a religion that suggests that there's torment waiting on us in the afterlife is appalling. Like, mm-hmm. What sort of warped, twisted, sick human being came up with this idea?
Well, how are you going to coerce people to believe in your religion?
The Muslims exactly. managed to do it. The Hindus managed to do it. The Buddhists have managed to do it. All of them without a hell.
The Jews didn't have a hell.
No, the Muslim concept of hell, they do have a concept of hell, but it's not permanent. And it's more like a guilt-caused thing, mm-hmm. where you burn away all of your guilt, that sort of thing. And it's temporary, right? But in the Christian hell, it's permanent. And it's... I just cannot reconcile the idea of any sort of torment with a loving God.
They're pretty good at converting people, though.
Well, imagine
that's
that,
the thing.
Right?
Well, you need people to feed your, your table offering there every. Come on, you know, every Wednesday and Sunday you need to be, or Saturday if you're a Seventh-day Adventist or whatever. No offense to the. To the Nicolaitans out there, but we'll get
yeah. Well, thank you so much for the call tonight, Chuck. I find the topics interesting as well, and it based on what we get from callers, because we've been getting a lot of callers on Wednesdays lately, I tend to think other people find the topics fascinating
well,
as well.
Well, did you hear about the email?
No.
We got an email from supposedly our biggest fan saying, me and you are ruining the show because... we aren't Christian.
Who's our biggest fan?
I don't remember his name, actually. Ian knows.
Is anyone on the show a Christian?
No.
Can't think of anybody.
Hold on, because we have a list of people
who
are on the show.
I don't want to say
that. We can
that.
Figure this out. Let's see. There's all of us, right? Conan, possibly. No, Conan's not a Christian.
Captain, definitely not.
Peakless, definitely not. Nobody, nope. He's the Pope of the Church of the Invisible Hand. Richie Rich, I would suggest probably not, I don't think so,
but I don't know.
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, he's got the piercings of the facial piercings of someone who is not a Christian, right? I mean, we laugh at that, but, like, you don't really get nose rings and stuff if you're a Christian. Part of the whole my body is a temple thing.
Just based on stuff he's told me about his past, it made me not think that he's a Christian.
Yeah, I don't think anybody affiliated with the show is Christian. I get different emails, so I've been getting a lot of emails for the last few weeks about different things related to the show. And one of these people, I don't remember her name, but she emails me pretty much at the end of every Wednesday, and she loves the take that we've been having lately. So, I don't know. Different things for different people. But let's keep going with the phones. We have Jamie on the line from Alabama. Jamie, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, you want to hear Eastern religion? Try Jehovah's Witness.
Were you raised Jehovah's Witness?
No, but I've been studying with them since 2010.
Oh. What's interesting about them?
They don't believe in fire, brimstone, hell. They believe that Jesus Christ and God is separate. And the Holy Spirit is separate. And, yeah, they're kind of a weird religion.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them. I had a friend growing up who was my sister had a friend who was a Jehovah's Witness. But other than the fact that she was excommunicated, I think, for dating a black guy, I don't remember the specifics
That's
now.
That's weird, because the Jehovah's Witness I've known have all been black.
Yeah, me too.
My sister's friend also, who is a Jehovah's Witness, she didn't have birthdays or if she couldn't receive gifts. And things
like that. Holidays or B-days, except for Passover.
So are you thinking of converting, or are you just interested in it?
I'm just interested in it. I ain't converting to nothing. No. I grew up as a Baptist, and I believe that Jesus Christ and God is, and the Holy Ghost is one, and that there's a fire, brimstone, hell, and that there's a heaven and Satan and all that, but I spiritually walked away.
Oh, you walked away from it? That's what you grew up believing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up believing in what I heard about when I was growing up in a family church, but...
So you do or you do not believe that right now?
I don't know what to believe anymore, man.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. That's a valid take.
I mean, that's how I feel, yeah.
I wish more people had the honesty to say, man, I just don't know. One of the issues I have with theists, that is people who assert a belief in a theistic type of God, not a deist type of God or one of those. But anyway, is that they, as Bonnie mentioned, you know, they sort of cheapen the mysteries of the universe. They claim to know what humans are, how we got here, what we're doing, and their answer to what humans are doing and what we're supposed to be, it's disgustingly petty.
And who could even possibly know all that? Who could even imagine or assume that they know, have the wisdom and the knowledge of gods?
Yeah.
Right.
Excellent questions.
A cousin, he's an atheist, so, you know.
Who's an atheist?
A cousin, he is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also an atheist. But it depends on the definition that a person uses again. There's a bunch of different types of atheists, I would argue. And most of the atheists that I'm familiar with and I've heard about and that I've watched and listened to and who have inspired me and impacted me and all of that stuff are going to be the atheists who fall under the I lack a belief banner. Maybe some of them.
Right.
But, like, and one of the biggest things we hear as atheists is, well, if, you know, having a belief, having no belief in God or lacking a belief for God or whatever.
Is a religion.
Is a religion. And it's like, no, if that's the case, then not collecting stamps is a hobby.
Hmm.
And not playing guitar is a, not playing football is a sport. It's complete nonsense.
Exactly. Oh, one more thing. What do you think about these 16 and 17-year-old kids having a sex change operation?
I don't think they're going to find a doctor who's willing to do that. And by sex change operation, you mean gender reassignment surgery for those.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no need to apologize. I'm just clarifying for the listener out there. It's what trans people would call bottom surgery. I don't think you're going to find very many doctors who are willing to do it for anyone under the age of 18. And there's a couple of reasons for this. As they were learning with some of these that they've done more recently, if they don't allow the person to go through puberty, then there's not enough material to work with to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of wrong for little kids to have their stuff cut off anyway.
Well, little kids, it's not happening. But 16 and 17 is like the cusp where it's just hard to say. Like, are they old enough to know how? I don't know. I don't have kids.
I mean, honestly, I have issues with it just for, like, solely medical reasons. Even for adults, I have heard of and seen things go horribly wrong.
Is it really true? I looked into this last night because I saw a meme and I was like, this has to be fake about the width of my hand of muscle missing from the forearm of someone, and it looked like freakish, and it was female to male. They took all the muscle there and it said it would never grow back, and it looked freakish. Like, it looked like it's just bone there. The rest of them is
regular. Wait, why
regular,
would they do that?
And they take that to make the
an organ, right?
Organ. Yeah. And it's,
I didn't know that.
It seems to be true from what I started Googling. And I just feel like, is there no better way? Is there no donated organs? Do you have to take it from your own body? And it doesn't grow back. And you just have to Google what I'm talking about.
I don't know. I feel like
we're not far enough along in science if that's the solution.
Yeah.
I mean, once I talked to Ian about it, and he said that is wrong for them cutting the male's genitals off. And I said, yeah, it went and girls' breasts off.
Well, I imagine there was some context to what Ian said that, you know, you're not including there. Like, certainly it's male genital mutilation is wrong. Like, circumcision, that's obviously wrong. Female genital mutilation is certainly wrong. But Ian certainly didn't say, you know, it's wrong for a 21-year-old man to get a gender reassignment surgery. Yeah.
I mean, oh, well, not an reassignment, but he got a vasectomy. So.
Okay, well, yeah, there's also that.
Oh, but a teenager, that's messed up.
Well, I mean, why would you say it? Well, I've been having sex since I was like 13 years old, and I don't want bottom surgery, right? I specifically don't. But if I did, that would have been the case back when I was 13 years old. And nothing that I want today is different fundamentally from what I wanted back when I was 13 years old.
And when it gets like 17, it's like... Lots of people have moved out of the house for multiple years by the time they're 17.
I definitely had an experience, and thank you so much for the call tonight, Jamie. This topic is worth exploring a little bit more, because I definitely had experiences in life that made me a little different from your average 13-year-old, right? Like, I had been through a bunch of crap at that point that raised my maturity levels beyond the average person, so do I think 13 years is a good enough age for a gender reassignment surgery? No! And I don't mean to suggest it is. 603-283-6160, but there is no good answer.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.